Welcome to another Stanlib podcast. I'm Dave Watson, investment specialist at Stanlib. Today I'm talking to Radomir Vermaak, head of Stanlib's systematic solutions business. We're going to be reflecting on the past quarter and also spending some time discussing the team's outlook and positioning. Many of our clients are well aware of the Stanlib Enhanced Multi-Style Equity Fund and some of its unique attributes that it brings to a client's portfolio. But I think just to highlight that this is an active SA equity fund, which aims to give clients balanced style exposure so that they don't need to call the cycle. This is a low-cost core active portfolio with uncorrelated alpha, which aims to be consistently and fundamentally better than the benchmark. Radomir, thanks for the time today. I think to kick off this podcast, maybe we could start with just looking at some key reflections on the first quarter of 2024.
Hi, Dave. Yeah, thanks for having me. So I think the first quarter of the year 2024 was a good one for the fund. We managed to generate an impressive 1.59% of alpha. Of course, throughout the quarter, we did change the portfolio and change both our single stock and sector positioning. From the end of December till the end of March, we increased our position and our holding in the consumer staples and financial sector, and we decreased our position in the materials and communication sector. We're still left with a materials position that is sort of in line with the benchmark. So we were overweight and we've reduced that. But within that materials sector, we are mostly long the gold counters, and that has done us in good stead as the gold price has rallied throughout the uncertainty of the geopolitical environment and the US interest rate environment. We are underweight the platinum group counters, mainly because those companies at the moment are displaying significant weakness in terms of their quality and growth dimensions, even though they might appear to be cheap. So if we look at what contributed mostly to our returns over the quarter, it was, as I mentioned, those gold counters, our overweight positions in Harmony Gold and Anglo Gold. And then what detracted slightly from our performance is our overweight position in Exxaro Resources.
Now, Radomir, as we know, the process that you and the team follow doesn't only consider backward-looking data, but actually looks at forward-looking data as well. So with that in mind, are there any specific risks that you are seeing in the SA market that are keeping up at night?
Dave, so I would say that there are significant risks in the SA market from a number of different perspectives, and I'll elaborate and articulate those in a second. But I think the way that we measure and manage the risk in the portfolio means that I am able to sleep at night. So I guess to elaborate on what those risks are, I think in the medium term, the upcoming election and the results of that election could really go in one of two rather extreme ways. And the impact of that on the rand as a currency could be quite extreme and quite volatile. On top of that, the current macroeconomic environment in terms of the lingering inflation and pressure from the United States, the uncertainty around what the Fed is going to do with interest rates, and the growth vector in the Chinese economy are all factors that certainly has significant risks to the SA market. Now, the way that we, and why I say that I'm able to sleep at night, the way that we manage and measure and manage these risks is multiple. Now, the first is that we have got a bespoke in-house macroeconomic risk management dimension where we, in essence, neutralize and manage all of these macroeconomic risks in the portfolio so that we've got the same sort of rand dollar exposure and gold price exposure as the benchmark. The second reason why we are comfortable about the risks in the portfolio is because we are not a single style manager. I think navigating such a complex environment by hanging on to a single investment style, such as buying value stocks and buying cheap companies, could certainly lead to gray hair and wrinkles. But because we build a well-balanced and well-diversified portfolio from an investment style perspective, you know, I believe that that allows us to always have a piston firing, and that carries us through the periods of uncertainty by virtue of having that balanced style blend. So yes, I mean, there are always risks, and there is never a crystal ball that one can use, but one can use measurable and robust risk management techniques to help you sleep better at night.
I think we all feel a bit better now knowing that you are sleeping well at night, Rademo, and thanks for explaining that. I guess that's probably been supplemented to some extent by the fact that the fund has continued to deliver strong returns relative to its benchmark, which is the Capped SWIX. But maybe you could also, on the flip side, talk to us a little bit about a typical environment where this strategy may struggle a bit.
Yeah, Dave. So I guess the reality of the philosophy that we follow is that we are trying to constantly and persistently build a portfolio that is fundamentally and rationally better than the benchmark. So we build a portfolio that is of higher quality, with better growth prospects, and at a cheaper valuation than the benchmark, the Capped SWIX. So it's a very rational investment philosophy. We find that such a rational investment philosophy could experience periods of underperformance when the market behaves irrationally. And I'll give you an example of such a period. For example, in March of 2020, there was a significant fluctuation in the market. And the best thing that one could have done in March of 2020 was to go out and buy tech stocks. The second best thing that one could have done was to do nothing. And with us being a very systematic and robust investment process, we followed the second step, and we experienced in that period of market irrationality, we experienced a relative drawdown to the Capped SWIX. But by sticking to our knitting and sticking to our guns, we recovered that complete underperformance within a month, and then continue to outperform for the rest of the year. So I guess another way to look at that is that there's the famous story of Warren Buffett driving through the streets of New York in the midst of the 2008 global financial crisis, and he was chatting to a colleague of his, and this colleague was in an absolute state of panic, saying, "Warren, what's going on? What are we going to do? What are we going to buy? Do we have to sell everything?" And Warren Buffett asked him a simple question. He asked him, "Do you know what the best-selling chocolate bar in the United States is in 2008?" And the colleague said, "No, he did not know." And so Warren Buffett said, "The best-selling chocolate bar is Snickers. And do you know what was the best-selling chocolate bar in 1970 in the US?" And the colleague also didn't know. And Warren Buffett said to him that it was also Snickers. So the moral of the story that Warren Buffett was trying to articulate was to stop trying to worry about the events, the news, the macro of the day, and trying to forecast what is going to change. The important thing is to focus on what remains the same. And in essence, that is what we are trying to do in this fund. We are trying to build a product and a philosophy around what remains the same throughout time in the investment world and in the equity world. And that is that investors will always prefer stocks that are of better quality. They will always prefer stocks that have good growth prospects, and they always prefer stocks that are cheap relative to others. And that is, in essence, what drives our performance and what has driven our performance and why we believe that performance will continue into the future.
Rademo, it's been great to get some insights from you on this podcast. I think finally, maybe you could just touch on how your team is experiencing our strategic partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management, especially given that now your team has taken over management of the Standard Equity Fund, which has an allowance for an offshore component that we can utilize our offshore partners to manage that.
Dave, so yes, I think it's critically important to point out that our partnership with JP Morgan is a deep and valued investment-led partnership. So to that effect, I visited the JP Morgan team in London last year and spent a lot of time with the various investment teams, various support teams, the portfolio managers, their team that drives their artificial intelligence and machine learning division, and their quantitative research teams. And from that, developed a deep level of comfort in terms of the JP Morgan team's abilities to manage money and to strategically collaborate with us in rolling out product in the SA market. So to that effect, we are using the JP Morgan Global Select Equity Fund as our offshore allocation in the Stand Up Equity Fund. And that fund has, at the end of March, been the number one fund in the SA General Equity category. And we are very grateful for JP Morgan for the consistent and persistent performance that they generate. I think what's important to point out with that JP Morgan Global Select Fund is that it follows very much the same underlying philosophy to our equity proposition, in the sense of building a well-balanced, style-neutral, bottom-up stock-picking portfolio that generates alpha through the cycle, and which means that clients don't have to know or don't have to time the cycle about when to allocate to value or to quality or to growth. So, Dave, in a nutshell, the experience that we have had with the JP Morgan team has been nothing but stellar, and we are very grateful and excited about our partnership with this world-class institution.
Rademeier, thanks very much for your insights. And to everyone listening to the podcast, thank you for taking the time. We hope we haven't elevated your craving for a Snickers bar too much, but we hope this has given you some interesting things to consider when thinking about investing in the SA equity market. If you'd like to further the discussion, please reach out to myself or your Stand Up representative, or you can visit the Stand Up portal.